806 FM Talk 1065, Mobile Boardings. Sean Sullivan, that guy right there, Dalton Orwig.
Right here.
Leanna on the ones and twos in the big control room back there. That's who you talk to when you call 343-0106. Also behind all that great Facebook content you see out there. Remember, we've got a few days left in our FM Talk 1065 Fish and Photo Contest, and then we'll do it again. We're doing it every week, giving away one of those FM Talk 1065 Fishing Team Dry Fit shirts. You can see those on there as well. People are posting up pictures, getting likes. The picture with the most likes wins.
It's that easy.
So it's just that, and we'll give that shirt away on Thursday and start a new week of that. Also, the online opinion poll questions up there as well, whether you'd attend an event if President Trump comes back to town. All right, check those out on Facebook and, of course, over at our website, fmtalk1065.com. It is a Tuesday, and we say hello to Quinn Hillier, the man behind quinnhillier.com, oddly enough. Also, read his work in the Washington Examiner, and the Matt Jones trilogy available for sale right now. Where would we find that, Quinn?
At Amazon.
Never heard of it. What is it? What is that?
Amazon.com.
Oh, I think I've heard of it somewhere.
It's about. Yeah, and but I'm going to switch things up, Sean. I'm going to start posting my my columns at SeanSullivan.com.
It's
and
taken.
You can post your radio stuff at QuinnHillier.com, and people will have fun figuring it out.
Yeah, there's a reporter in Washington. I think he's for the Post, too, that's taken that. He's using
yeah,
my name. And then there's
there
a hockey player. And I can't get that Sean Sullivan. So let's but we could mix it up. It'll be fun. All right, let's talk about this. You put this message out yesterday on Facebook, and I know probably Twitter, other social media platforms, and tagged me in it so I'd see it right away. Thank you. And you're talking about what you mentioned the other day, the AL1 Republican primary runoff between Bill Hightower and Jerry Carl. Let it rip, Quinn. What did you say here yesterday? And tell everybody what you're talking about.
This might be the vilest. It's certainly one of the vilest campaigns, local campaigns, I have ever seen.
Wow.
You have two people that have been pretty good public servants before this campaign, known as pretty good guys, and they are smearing each other, not just with, you know, slight exaggerations, taking things a little out of context. They're flat out lying about each other. And both of them are, you know, trying to turn people that were their friends into the devil incarnate. And it's just wrong. It is absolutely wrong. We need a race where people talk about what they want to do, what good they want to do, why their record, their history makes them the best person to do it, and, you know, move us forward instead of throwing. I mean, this isn't just mud they're throwing. This is chimpanzee excrement.
I'll put that down. I'm going to use that. Okay, let's go through this, because I said earlier that both men have been on the show over the years. I like both men. They see, you know, it. But yes, I know these people personally. This is probably the reaction, Ed, in doing what I do and in the worlds you run in. We know these people personally. So to see this, we know what's not true. The problem is there's a whole bunch of people who don't know them from anything other than advertising. So it's probably incumbent upon us to try to point out, like you did yesterday, the things that are not accurate. Now, in cases where you have, I think we need to delineate, although I can roll my eyes when I say political action committees have no interaction with the candidate. They're a separate entity. But there's one part of this is coming from PACs and one part that's coming from campaigns, right? I mean, there's a delineation there.
Right, but the most recent stuff has been coming directly from each other's campaign.
Okay, so
I mean, there were some ads out earlier from the Club for Growth, which is one of these big money Washington outfits that I don't particularly like.
Well, they've set up camp here in AL1.
They've set up camp here, and they were nasty, and they were wrong, and they were sending out cheap shots, and supposedly, you know, they act independently from the candidate, whatever. But when the candidate's own campaign, and this is for both campaigns, does the exact same thing, and it's paid for by, you know, by campaign for Bill Hightower and paid for by campaign for Jerry Carl, then they can't hide behind some outside pack. And that's what they're doing. And it's, and it's wrong because neither of them is a bad guy. They're not. You're right. I mean, I've known these guys for 8 years. They worked hard as public servants. They were. Bill Hightower is basically accusing Jerry Carl of being a crook.
Yeah.
And that is just wrong. Actually, Peter Albrecht at WKRG analyzed one of Hightower's claims about Jerry Carl and said it's just flat out bogus.
And point out that Albrecht at that point, so Pete was working with the county at that point.
Right.
He
exactly.
wasn't. He was between and so, TV gigs, and he was working with the county, so he knows it firsthand, not just as a journalist.
He knows it firsthand, and it's an absolutely bogus claim. This is a road project that the voters approved in, what, 2005 or 2007, and when Jerry Carl becomes the county commissioner in, what, the 2012 elections, you know, road projects get planned years in advance.
Correct.
But they get paid for as each contract gets let for each part of it. So part of it comes up for approval after, you know, the contract itself, not the overall plan, comes up for approval. Once he's on the county commission, he approves it. It's a good contract to do something that the voters have already chosen to do. And Bill Hightower, again and again, even after Peter Albrecht has blown the whistle on him, he's still putting out stuff saying that this is a $9.6 million sweetheart deal for Jerry Carl because the road is going to benefit his business, and he's using taxpayer money in an illicit way to get rich off the taxpayers.
Which is also a pharmacy that has no, it's like a, it's not, I don't think it's a public pharmacy. It's a closed door.
Right.
Yeah.
But. Okay, so that's it's just flat out wrong. It's not even an exaggeration, it's a lie. Let me go the other way, because I've got two examples each way, but I don't want to jump all on Bill Hightower first instead, in case we run out of time. Right after the runoff, I mean, right after the first primary, Jerry Carl was putting out some bogus thing saying, well, you can't trust Bill Hightower to say that he supported Trump when he didn't even vote in the 2016 primary. Wrong. There's actually a picture up on Facebook from the 2016 primary of Bill Hightower at the polls, you know, just outside the polls, with an I voted sticker on. And I'm told he was talking to his then friend, Jerry Carl, at the time.
I know, that's the sad part of this. Yeah.
Okay. And some clerk made an error. And, you know, there's several Hightowers, and it looks like they were signed in under the wrong Hightowers. But, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people saw Bill Hightower there. And yet Jerry Carl's saying he's lying, and therefore he's not MAGA enough. He didn't even vote at all, much less vote for Trump. That's bogus. Okay?
Okay.
The other way. Go the other way. Hightower saying that Jerry Carl was it a pharmacy business or something like that, but something about having made sure that Medicare and Medicaid reimbursed his clients, and supposedly that's, you know, that's cheating the government, or it's gaming the system for the government. No, if you're in a medical business that does Medicaid, that handles Medicaid and Medicare patients, you want the patients to be able to claim their Medicaid and Medicare. That's not fraud on the government.
No.
That's not gaming the government. That's helping your clients. That's helping your customers be able to afford their medicine. I mean, my goodness, to say that that is somehow illicit, that's vile. It is an absolutely vile claim. It's sickening.
And the problem is, too, that people hear it and then don't go the next step to say, well, let me ask, you know, let me have some critical thinking here. They just say, oh, well, that's a bad person.
Exactly. Okay. Then back the other way. Jared Carl, TV commercial. I've seen it God knows how many times now. Bill Hightower is some sort of international business consultant. There's some quote from, I don't know, 7 years ago, 5 years ago, however long ago, it doesn't make it clear, where he's talking about having helped some Chinese company do some business here. He's probably talking about something where it brought Chinese money in here and hired local people. We don't know what it is. I mean, 7-9 years ago, a lot of people were trying to help make, Chinese, open the Chinese market so we could sell to them or something that benefits us. Anyway, somehow Jerry Carl's campaign takes that one quote from Hightower about a Chinese business and turns it into literally, Bill Hightower sent millions of our jobs to China. Millions of our jobs to China. Are you serious? I mean, what is Bill Hightower as rich as Trump and Jeff Bezos and Mayor Bloomberg all combined? Millions of jobs? Give me a break.
All right, so let's take the next step here. You pointed out some concrete examples here on something that has frustrated people over time. Now let's talk about this. What would you have them do?
I would have them run a positive campaign about offering solutions for the country and explaining why their backgrounds would help achieve those solutions. Now, look, I lost my race, so you can say, well, see, since I took a pledge that I would not do negative campaigning, that shows it doesn't work. But you know what? When I ran in that special election in 2013, there were 9 candidates in the race, and other than a little bit of sniping back and forth between, mainly in public, between Bradley Byrne and Chad Fincher. Other than that, only one of the 9 candidates actually ran negative stuff, and that was Dean Young. Okay? So 8 of 9 candidates managed to run mostly positive campaigns. And Dean himself, he ran, he did some negative stuff, but he was also out there talking about real issues, too. I mean, Dean was saying a lot more positive stuff than either Jerry Carl or Bill Hightower is now. So you can run a campaign, you can win a campaign without going into the gutter.
Okay. One of the things I think the problem is, I mean, they've been shown over time that those are successful, but the negative campaigning is only successful when people aren't doing what you're talking about, doing due diligence and looking at stories. So it's incumbent upon us, the voters, to get educated, to be able to push back on those things. The other part of this, I think, unintended consequence is the super low respect factor that people have for anybody that gets elected. Maybe it comes from the fact that whoever it is comes out, even if they win, they've been beaten to death by the other candidates in it, and you think they're all a bunch of bad guys or bad gals by the time it's over with. Even though that may not be true, the advertising has made you think they're everything but a child of God.
Right, and what this does is it breeds cynicism about the entire system. And when people are cynical about the entire system, they think that anything that comes out of the system is illegitimate, and therefore if it's illegitimate, you start getting people who think that, well, it's legitimate to take the law in their own hands, and they can go and do riots and stuff like this because everybody's corrupt and you can't work through the system. So by gosh, you're gonna go tear down statues of George Washington and stuff like that. We need to reinstill trust in what is a great American system of representative democracy, or actually a republic, a constitutional republic. And this campaign isn't doing it. And let me try to end on I don't want to end, but let me get back to a good note. Here's why it's so frustrating. As you and I have said, we've watched Bill Hightower and Jerry Carl for the last, 8, 9 years in their various public offices. And, I don't always agree with them on everything, but Jerry Carl is a very diligent public service. He works his tail off. Bill, and he's a nice guy.
Yep.
You see him at lunch. He's friendly. He's genuinely friendly. It's not one of these put-on things. Bill Hightower, he works hard to try to get policy right. Whether or not he can get it through some of those other fools in the legislature, I don't know. But, I've seen him sweat details to try to get policy right. He tried to do a flat tax thing where he massaged it and massaged it and massaged it some more to get the numbers to work, to try to overcome objections from special interests so that they would buy into something that didn't have a special interest, exemption or whatever. I saw him do the work. He cared about getting the policy right. He's a good public servant. And these guys are painting each other as if they're terrible people, and they're not.
There you go. Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com. People can go. I know we've posted up what you said yesterday on our Facebook page. People can read through it there. Also, I guess, find you over on Twitter.
Yes, indeed, at Quinn Hillier.
All right. Very good, Quinn. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks.
All right. We'll see if anything changes by then in the advertising. What do you think about what Quinn had to say? We'll take your calls when we get back. 343-0106. All right. Thank you, Kane. 827 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Go to the phones here. Mark in Fairhope is first up. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, I was just curious. When you said that you've interviewed, you've had these guys in the studio, mm-hmm. Carl and Hightower.
Yes.
Either in the past or in the future, would you call them on these, these misleading ads?
I'm going to ask both of them. Yes, I'm going to ask both of them. And that, when I say I've had them on over the years, many times, but, in different capacities, from Bill Hightower when he was state senator, Jerry Carl as Mobile County Commissioner, but I've had them both on. We did the debate back in November, the Republican primary debate, that was on our air and talked to them back then. But absolutely, yeah, I'm going to talk to them about this.
Good. I was curious. That's good to know. Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Hey, no problem. I mean, I'm just trying to get down to the, the truth on these things. And listen, negative advertising works.
Mm-hmm.
It works. But, you see the response Quinn has had on his Facebook page. And by the way, his post is on our Facebook page. If you go to facebook.com/FMTalk1065, you'll see Quinn's post and you can react to it over there as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Bill in Mobile is up next. Hey, Bill.
Good morning.
Morning.
How y'all doing? I've got a wide variety of comments in a short span of time. First of all, with regards to Hightower and Carl, I feel like they need to be looking at other issues such as the money that should be coming in from revenue off the Gulf of Mexico. We don't get but a fraction of that, where on the north end with the Tennessee Valley Authority, those people get at least 8 times
mm-hmm.
what we do
yep.
in revenue.
Yep,
okay,
we've talked about that.
What we have also a problem with is Bubba Wallace in this scenario with him having a noose in his stall.
Yep.
With all of the publicity around what was already said, I cannot imagine why they would not have cameras in there and all of a sudden it disappeared. Sounds to me like one of the greatest NASCAR political stunts I've seen in a long time, which I got to give them credit. That was pretty smooth,
Well, we've got, we're going to talk about
including
this.
The governor trying to ask for forgiveness when they don't even know who put it in there. Okay?
Yeah.
Secondly, thirdly, Black Lives Matter, why don't they just start looking in their own backyard and stop killing each other? Okay? Thirdly, as far as Black Lives Matter, they want to go back and take all these statues and knock them down. They want to stop history when it came across the ocean. Their own people were the ones who put them into slavery and killed and murdered and slaughtered and put them on boats.
Yeah, but people had to, people had to have a market
but
for
it. But history only begins, and they're trying to talk about history being on the right side of history. I hate what happened to them, but the fact of the matter is the only reason the Civil War happened was because the South would get one vote for every black, every four black man they got. The Tennessee,
We're up against a hard break here, Bill. We're up against a hard break. This is when news takes over. But thanks for the call.
836 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. Let's head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey, so we're coming up on the end of June. I can't believe how fast this month is going, but that means not much time to get out and get that great deal at McConnell Automotive.
No kidding. I mean, it is flying by. That's right. We got some GM certifieds on the used car side. You know, that gives you an extra 12 on the warranty and bumps that powertrain up to 100,000. We got just got an AT4. Everybody knows what AT4 is here lately. It's a 19 with 9,000 miles on it. There's not any new ones out there. And just happened to slip up on one the other day and bought it. It'll be ready to go here in probably about lunchtime. It's at the detail shop right now, and it is just a gorgeous truck. If anybody knows, the AT4's got a little lift on it. It's a nice little truck that GMC came out with. Don't forget about the body shop in the back. Gary and the guys will take great care of you back there. They can fix any car, Mercedes, Lexus, anything. Just go back there and see the body shop. If you have that little unfortunate accident, you can reach them at 251-476-4141. Ask for Gary and them in the collision center.
All right, good stuff.
That's about it going on around here.
That's all. All right, we appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Right, 8:38, and heading to the phones. I see this text here from David. Said, I'm tired of the false dichotomy of why don't they stop killing each other. First argument that racists give. Do they not realize how stupid that argument is? If they're going around killing each other, then why do racists need to kill them? And I guess he's talking about Bill's comments about the for black on black crime, which is, by the way, that term. Just thought about that the other day. Cam had a guest on who had mentioned that you don't hear any. Just as a term, you ever hear white on white crime?
I can't remember the last time
Latino
or the first
Latino
time.
Latino crime, Asian on Asian crime?
No, you hear black on black crime.
I just thought that was stood out. All right, to the phones. A lot to talk about here. What Quinn had to say about the situation between Jerry Carl and Bill Hightower. By the way, that full discussion, his treatise on that is on our Facebook page if you want to go check it out. Fred is in Mobile up first. Hey, Fred.
Good morning, Sean. Good morning, Dalton. And morning. Hello, everybody.
Hey.
I have the distinct opportunity of having had to work with Jerry for the last 2 years with the annexation situation here in West Mobile. And, of course, Bill Hightower happens to be my state senator from the district. So I know both men. I've actually worked closer with Jerry Carl than I have with Bill, but I know both of them, and they're both, like Quinn stated, they're both fine gentlemen. Jerry's a little more amiable to me than what Bill was, but it may be because I've gotten to know Jerry over time and been around him a little bit more. The other thing is that I went in and listened to what Dr. Everhart and Keanu Gardner said from the Democratic side, because I'm an independent voter. I don't vote either party. I look at the person. And what I liked about Dr. Everhart and Dr. Gardner is that they both talked about what they would do for the first congressional district. And they weren't talking just Mobile or Baldwin County. They were talking Washington County, Clark, I can't think of the other one there. Mm-hmm. But they were talking about things such as widening 45 all the way up from Mobile all the way up to state line Mississippi, improving the highways and getting infrastructure funds for the counties that were outlying where they're a little more rural in Washington County. I have a wife that is from the Vinegar Bend area in Washington County, and And I've been on the roads up there, and it's horrible. And when it just grates my nerves to no end when they run the ad about Jerry Call voting for the road taxes and that he supported it, and it was a
he wasn't in office when that started, you know.
I mean, I know, but the thing about it though is that I'm talking about the gasoline tax.
Oh yes, well yeah, he can't vote for that as a county commissioner.
He come out in support of that, and that's one of the things I liked about Jerry. It was one of the things that it's hard to do to take the political courage to go out and support something, even though you know it's going to be unpopular. So it takes guts to do that kind of thing, and that's one of the reasons why I like Jerry. I mean, that's just me, but I like some of the things that the Democratic candidates have said too. And their focus has not been so much about, okay, I'm the Trumpiest. Their focus was more on the people that were in the district. So
Fred, for a second, because I was there monitoring, right? We aired that debate on FM Talk 106.5, the Democrat primary debate. They weren't the Trumpiest, but they spent a lot of time talk about how un-Trump they were. So, I mean, to be fair, and I agree with things you've said, but I got to keep things balanced. They also spent a lot of time dogging out the president.
Maybe I heard it differently, but that's...
Yeah, I mean, that's what you would expect from the party out of power. I'm not saying that that's unusual, but I just want to make sure that... But yes, here's my problem. This happens at all levels in not just, I was going to say, federal races. Heck, it happens in state politics. It happens on Public Service Commission. They spend all their time talking about national issues and how they're going to oppose, you know, support Trump or oppose Soros or all these things that I may agree with, but that's not the stinking job. That's not the job we're hiring you for. You know, tell us about how you benefit the state or the district.
Yeah, I was surprised. I've been, of course, since the annexation effort started, I've really been surprised and found out how much power the county sheriff actually has in the counties, because the county commissioner's basic power is roads and bridges. That's where they can lie. They have no authority to take and form like a fire district or a fire department. They can't do none of that stuff.
Right.
This county sheriff can't levy taxes. So
it's all Montgomery.
There's limited in what the county can do.
Fred, I appreciate your call. You're right. Yes. I mean, and we have a system. You know, that's what I was. I think I got into that a little bit when I was on the Alabama Politics This Week show with Dale Jackson this weekend, the TV show, and I went back to my rant that as much as Montgomery hates the pushdown from the federal government, which I agree with Montgomery on that, they're cool with pushing down on counties and municipalities. It's funny how that works.
Yeah, no doubt. Unfortunately, for the most part, policy just isn't sexy. And coming out and talking about your specific policies or what you believe in on an extremely local level, it's not going to lead the 5 o'clock or 10 o'clock news. And these campaigns know that. And in an ideal world, yeah, it'd be great if each candidate said, I don't want to sling mud. This is exactly what I think and what would be good for our area. But that we've seen over the years, that doesn't seem to work in these elections.
But I mean, it would be nice if we're playing Fantasyland if they would say, my opponent's idea how to get this through is wrong because of X, Y, and Z. Here's why my idea is better.
Mm-hmm.
You can dog out the policy. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's like when we're in meetings here at the radio station, right? And we're all going to try to get to some... We're going to have this promotion or that promotion. We come up with a bunch of ideas, and we try to figure out which ones are best.
Right.
So, but
without releasing attack ads.
Should we start? Well, we do have a few attack ads. If you'll go to Facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. So we're in the nappies, right? Mm-hmm. And the voting goes on through Sunday.
Yep.
And the nature of it is doing 44 hours a week of local programming in Mobile. Yeah, it's live. Like, we're in the studio every day, live shows here, even on the weekends. We have our shows against each other, kind of in a primary setting. And we have released a few attack ads between this show and Midday Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are ready to start attacking Sports Night and Feinbaum. So we do a little bit of that. All right, let's go to Albert in Mobile up next. Hey, Albert.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning. Morning.
I just have a vent against this Committee for Growth or
Club for Growth. Okay.
The interfering with state elections. I'm just opposed to it. I would like to ask you how Senator Hightower feels about the characterization of Jerry Carl by a nonpartisan group, which you can't say you're nonpartisan.
Yeah, they're not nonpartisan.
And I would like to know what Senator Hightower would have to say about that.
You know what? I'm going to have both of the men in here once, if not multiple times, between now and July 14th. So, Albert, I will ask that question of both men.
I would, yes, do that. That's what they did to Bradley Byrne.
Yep.
I don't know why we can't understand that these people are not looking out for us, and they got us. Help get us Doug Jones.
Yeah, they've got an agenda. So Club for Grace and other groups, they're not the only one. Other PACs have their agenda, which is something specific and national, and they're trying to affect, you know, some outcome here in AL1 that affects us all. It only affects them during this election season. It affects us every day.
Yep.
There you go, Albert. I appreciate your call. You're right on. All right, coming right back, we'll grab a couple more calls. Plus, we're going to go back to something that we talked about last hour as some pictures have come out now.
Mm-hmm.
It was, a video, a YouTube video, where they took a still shot from the whole question about the pull rope on the garage there, the Bubba Wallace garage there, and then a year before, another driver was there.
Right.
We'll kind of hash that out, because I think every hour that NASCAR doesn't come out with information, they leave a vacuum that's being filled, and we'll talk about what's filling it when we come back. Right, 8:51 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. By the way, the online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. A couple places. Number one, on our website, the question is, would you attend a campaign rally for President Trump if he were to come to Mobile? You can also engage in that over on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. And while we're at it, check us out on Twitter, which is kind of talking to me directly or directly. Mm. So, can folks say you can directly talk to me on Twitter and Instagram. Find us at FM Talk 106.5.
That's right. We're on all those. And still vote for the best fishing photo on our Facebook page. It's linked at the very top of the page.
And the delivery was just made, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I saw some more of those FM Talk 106.5 fishing team dry fit shirts coming in. So we will have one winner this week, one winner next week, and so on and so on. So get those.
Until I run out of shirts, man. We're going to keep doing it.
Yeah. So get those pictures uploaded and have your family and friends vote, and you could be the winner of one of those shirts.
All right. I want to talk something you mentioned last hour. And I'm thinking there's a couple, if you leave a vacuum, and I said this yesterday, I'm going to reserve judgment here on this whole question about the noose and Bubba Wallace until there's more information.
Right.
And let's get more information. But I think it's incumbent upon NASCAR to do a real investigation, forensic work, the whole nine yards. If they're going to take this on, they better take it on correctly. But they have not. They didn't even release the picture of the noose, so
right.
What did the internet do? It went and found some pictures.
Yeah, the investigation needs to be done not only quickly, but as publicly as they can do it, as they could possibly do it. I know they've got the FBI involved now and all these other law enforcement agencies that they're saying are investigating. So, quick timeline. A couple weeks ago, Bubba Wallace, who's from Mobile and is the only black driver on NASCAR's Cup Series, called for NASCAR, the association, to ban Confederate flags at raceways. And NASCAR acted pretty quickly with the current temperature in the United States with the protests that are going on, and we've seen all the statues that have been pulled down and stuff like that. So NASCAR acted quickly and banned Confederate flags from raceways. They had a race last weekend at Miami Homestead. Everything seemed to go swimmingly. And then this week, they were set on Sunday to race at Talladega for the Geico 500. Unfortunately, weather caused that race to be delayed from Sunday until Monday. But after that race was delayed on Sunday, news came out that a noose was reportedly found in the garage stall for Bubba Wallace's number 43 car. Now, they have these garages with bays set up for all the drivers to have their equipment in that garage bay as they prepare for the race. And NASCAR, you know, they got right on it. They said they were investigating. It became a huge news topic. It led pretty much every single news site yesterday, whether it's sports news, CNN, Fox News, everybody had a story up about this, and NASCAR was vocal. They said they were investigating. So yesterday, prior to the race, NASCAR had a the president, Steve Phelps, had a call with reporters where he was going to let some more people. You thought there might be some more information coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But basically what he said is, we've launched an investigation. Birmingham has their FBI team here. They're investigating it. And other than that, he said there was no new news. There was also a Facebook post put up yesterday that went viral, where someone claimed that a piece of equipment, some kind of rubber, some part under the car, they said was mistaken for the noose. That, I believe, ended up being false. But what we have now, with NASCAR not putting out information, they haven't put out a picture or a video of the noose that was reportedly found in his stall. So there's been a couple internet sleuths. Now, journalists are on it, and also fans that care for NASCAR and want to get to the bottom of this. There have been pictures put out. And yesterday, prior to the delayed race being ran, a journalist with racingnews.co put out a story and a picture from yesterday before the race of the stall where Bubba Wallace's number 43 car was parked. And you can see in the picture, it's a picture of the number 4 garage stall, which is where the 43 car is parked, and the number 5 stall. You can see there are garage doors on each bay.
Roller doors.
Right? Roller doors. Yeah. And they have ropes tied on to each of the doors. Now, in this picture, the rope that is on the number 4 door, which is where the number 43 car is positioned, is much shorter, about half as long as the rope on the number 5 door. Now, this picture was taken yesterday prior to the race, but after this entire incident became national news.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a video that was loaded last year in November when Talladega had a race, last November, and this video was posted to YouTube by somebody named Rowdy Maglite. You can see it was published November 27th.
Maglite?
Yeah. And the title of it, In Garage at Talladega Super Speedway. So back then, when fans were allowed to tour the infield, they only allowed up to 5,000 fans this week, but fans were not allowed in the infield.
Right.
Very strict limits for who is allowed in the infield and around these cars during this age of coronavirus. So this video from last year shows what appears to be that same garage stall, the number 4 stall,
okay,
next to the number 5 stall. In this race last year, the number 21 car driven by Paul Menard is parked in that number 4 stall. And if you zoom in, this is from a video. It doesn't appear to have been photoshopped in, but you can see that there was a rope there in the number 4 stall that appears longer than the picture from yesterday and was tied into what looks like a loop, which you would presume make it easier to pull on that rope to close the garage door. So this isn't final. This isn't...
Correct. We're saying this is what's out there right now.
There's still an investigation going on, but from these online investigations...
Could be a spurious correlation, though, too.
It could be, and I don't know how many number 4 garage stalls they have there.
What I'm saying is it could have happened sometime between last November and this last weekend. You know what I'm saying? For some other reason.
It's possible.
But this is how conspiracies happen, because you have a void left by NASCAR and not having information out, and you put these pictures. It could be exactly what you're saying. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying, make sure when things look like, oh, well, that's for sure, just make sure that it wasn't done December or whatever.
Right, and somebody on Wallace's team, now they did say that Bubba Wallace never saw this noose, that somebody on his team saw it and alerted NASCAR. Could have been someone who wasn't aware that it had already been tied up like that, if that was the case, and they were worried that it was someone that came around and tied a noose on the stall because Bubba Wallace is black. But I'm with you. The longer that NASCAR waits on this and fails to provide pictures or video or any more information, the more the public is going to get involved. And it could be a bad look to the Wallace team.
Now, we're talking about this some more coming up on Midday Mobile today. That's at noon. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next.